Bill Mackay is Senior Lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Bill.
Kia ora, Catherine.
We're continuing considering some of the big changes that are underway at the moment when it comes to planning and building.
Yep. And this is the third time in a row that I've talked about this, but people shouldn't underestimate that it is really radical change. It's really going to open the floodgates. And actually, that's an apt term, floodgates, because what plans and policies do is they turn the tap on, and we can turn the tap down after a while as well. It's like filling your bath or adjusting your shower. There has been, we've been hearing through submissions and, you know, you mentioned before in the politics slot how this has been rammed through Parliament at the moment. And a lot of experts in the area are very disappointed and annoyed that they aren't getting properly listened to. But anyway, we've been hearing a lot of concerns about bulk and location, and that's all fair enough, but we're hearing people talk about the built environment, our privacy, shading, that sort of thing, character, heritage. But I just want to flip it round a little bit because I heard a urban designer talking about how there really wasn't too much difference in terms of a three- or two-story townhouse. You would only need to go to three stories if you wanted a fourth bedroom. And they were kind of implying that, you know, we are still a nation of people who need three-bedroom houses, mum, dad, and the master bedroom, as people still call it, and then a bedroom for the girl and a bedroom for the boy. But buildings are for people, and I think we really need to think about the big changes that we've seen in 50 years when it comes to the nature of households. So, you know, developers, planners, designers, they're all building what they think people need or what people have historically wanted. But I want to focus on the issues that I think households really have today. So I've got a whole bunch of them. We'll probably run out.
Sally Forth.
Hey, it's always next time. So the big thing that we're seeing, especially in Auckland, is a big shift to intergenerational living for both cultural and economic needs, you know, affordability. Even in nice, white, well-off middle-class families, our kids are staying home for longer. You know, rather than go out flatting, they're staying at home all the way through university to save a bit of money. You're getting more grandparents living with families. And, you know, my mother-in-law lived with us for, you know, several years. So we need houses with a bit of a separate story or a separate wing or something like that, or what will also be enabled here, a granny flat in the backyard or a tiny house in the backyard, you know, 30 square metres for a young couple. And there is a big demand for that sort of thing. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be three stories everywhere. It's going to free up traditional houses to modernise in terms of family needs. The next big thing, of course, through COVID lockdowns, is that we've learned that working from home can work for a lot of people, and certainly for those people in the family who are looking after kids a lot of the time, have responsibilities, the school run, that sort of thing. And we need more space for that beyond the traditional living room. I'm working at the kitchen table in our sort of dining area at the moment, but it's not ideal for everyone else. It's not just COVID with the working from home, but we've also got the gig economy with more and more people. As we saw with businesses embracing open plan because they could see cost savings and real estate in it, we will see businesses embrace working from home because they can save money on renting floor space and cut down overheads that way. So with the gig economy, we've already seen that happen, more and more people having to work from a cafe or home or something. The next big thing, I think, is that families are changing. We're still thinking about mum, dad, and two kids. It's not like that anymore. Singles and couples without kids, as I've said many times before, make up almost 50% of New Zealand households. So that's singles, people living on their own, or couples without kids, meaning the kids have left home or they haven't had kids yet, or they aren't having kids, almost 50% of New Zealand households. So, you know, that's not the three-bedroom model. It's something else. And then even when we've got mum, dad, and three kids, families are changing. Many, many more divorces happening in families. So we get blended families. You know, if I divorce my wife and meet, I've got three sons and I connect, I move in with someone with three daughters, how do we accommodate six kids that don't know each other?
Well, the Brady Bunch, of course.
Yeah.
You need a conversation pit.
Yeah, sorry, or you know, if I decide to grow a ponytail and buy a Harley, how do I have the kids in my bachelor pad on the weekend? How do I accommodate them? So, you know, we really need to think a lot more about the nature of families and think about people in buildings rather than just purely focusing on what the built environment looks like for people.
The question is what motivates someone to do that? And if you're a developer, what are some of the imperatives at the moment? We know they're building bigger and bigger houses when you're making the point we actually need smaller and smaller houses in the mix. But is it simply how they maximise their profit?
Yeah. And again, the problem with developers is that, you know, why build an affordable house when you can throw a little bit more money at tiles and whiteware and all that flash stuff we see on TV and make a lot more money? So it's up to other people to really kāingaora the iwi, the super funds, those people who have got more of a long-term strategy, to focus on the nature of them. And that's why we're seeing some really good innovations by iwi. The most recent housing in Kupe Street, for Ngāti Whātua did, you could choose whether, you know, they were two-story townhouses, you could choose whether to have a garage with a laundry and a little bathroom down in there, or to have it fitted out for a work-from-home or a member of the family to live down there. And guess what everyone did? Because it's nuts to park a $5,000 used Jap import in a $30,000,
$40,000 garage. Yeah, and the rest. So, it's interesting you talk about these other providers, because we had the winners of the Sustainable Business Awards on yesterday, I think it was. It must have been late last week, must have been Friday.
I heard that.
Community finance. And isn't that interesting? Again, you're raising the funds, rent to build is another. You're raising the funds collectively, and then you are much more motivated to try and design the accommodation for the clients that you have. Carry on with your list of changes that you think developers, whomever they are, need to be considering.
And designers as well. So, you know, social isolation is a big hidden epidemic at the moment. And we are seeing more of a desire for people to, you know, kind of have more connection with others, more of a kind of a community. So we're seeing a real growth in co-living and co-housing. We are seeing more people partnering up to purchase. So you might buy a house or apartment with a very close friend. We're seeing more people flatting together rather than living with family. So who gets the master bedroom in your classic, you know, apartment or house design? We really need to see more dwellings, you know, American style, where almost every bedroom's got an ensuite, and that will free up, because, you know, our blended families can also have some much older kids and some much younger kids, and even possibly a baby. And these, again, co-housing, co-living, rather than the isolation of one household, is what we call intentional communities. And developers are jumping on the bandwagon there. And I could name a few examples, but kind of these rules will allow people to band together and do something, as we've seen with co-house in Surrey Crescent in Auckland. There was a bit of neighbourhood suspicion there because for some lunatic reason, the site had been zoned single house when you had a school over the road and apartment buildings nearby. The other big thing that developers do is all they know is building timber houses, basically. Three-story houses in kind of denser areas. Central and local government, as we've seen for the past several years, are pushing more for density and less sprawl. And developers do what they know is successful. And their model was basically sprawl. So they have to get over that. My big worry with three stories in timber is it's really stretching what we know to the limit. And that's one of the reasons I favour apartments more, because, you know, they tend to be concrete and much more solidly built. There's a few other social things going on as well. There's much more of a desire of people to live closer to the action. You know, we had the suburban dream in the 50s and 60s. It didn't quite work out for a lot of people. Young people, young couples, young singles, even young couples with babies want to be in the city fringe or in the city centre. Downsizers want to move back into town as well. So all of these kinds of things, I haven't even got time to get into cultural needs for Maori and Pacific people and for people from all parts of Asia as well. So we'll save that for another time.
No, let's rock on with it next time, because the question is whether what we've got with the law change at the moment is going to encourage or discourage this kind of development. But alongside that, let's pick up on what we're seeing from these new players, whether it's the build-to-rent market, whether it's the social investment bond organisation we heard about last week, whether it's the big institutional investors getting involved. Are they looking at these factors themselves? Are we starting to see a significant shift in approach?
The developers that aren't.
Okay, Bill, we'll pick up. We can carry on next time. That's fine by me. It's a really big topic. Thanks so much. Bill Mackay, Senior Lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning.